Here's the question I have for you. Where is Jesus in your life today? Is he a priority? Is he at the center? Where is Jesus in your life?
This is Straight Talk.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halyk. I am your host today in the studios in Chicago at New Life Community Church. We are so excited to bring you this new series called First Things First. It's from the Apostle Paul's writing to the Colossian church, and we're going through the book of Colossians, and we've subtitled this Theology for Everyday Life, because the Apostle Paul takes these incredibly complex theological ideas and breaks them down for everyday people like you and me. You're going to love this series. Pastor Mark is taking us through it. And if you miss any of these messages or you'd like to see more of our series, you've got to go to PastorMarkJobe.com and download the Straight Talk app. The Straight Talk app is full of resources to help you grow in God. I love it because the Bible is on there. You can take notes on there. You can do your devotions on there. You can share messages. You can actually listen to worship music. We have original New Life worship album on there. We have also other resources like Streetlights Bible you can connect to from there, which is an urban, real gritty, well-done, creative Bible for people every day. You're going to love it. There's things like the Word Online where you can connect with people no matter where you are. You can connect with other people growing in God, doing Bible studies together. Listen, here at Straight Talk, it's our joy to help you grow in God. And that's what this app is all about. Download it today for free at PastorMarkJobe.com. Let's get into this message in First Things First from the book of Colossians right now.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Pastor Mark begins a brand new series today entitled First Things First, and his first message is called Getting Your Priorities Straight. Mark will help us take an in-depth look at how we can get our priorities straight as we prepare for a brand new year. Our text will be found in the book of Colossians. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Colossians from prison. He was in a Roman prison when he wrote this book. And he wrote it to a group of people that he had never met before. There was a city named Colossae that a friend of Paul, Epaphras, had gone out. And he was probably a businessman that had traveled and heard Paul speak and went back to Colossae, spread the word. And a church had started in Colossae, but these people were struggling with some of the same issues that you and I struggle with. And even though this book was written 2,000 years ago, the principles apply to our situation today. How many of you know that it's really hard to keep our priorities straight? Isn't it hard? I mean, it seems like everybody is demanding a piece of our time, and every area of life wants to be a priority, right? It seems like you have the teacher saying, your child's education is a priority. You need to make sure you do the homework with them. And if they need tutoring classes, send them to tutor, be it at all the parent-teacher conferences, and make sure you help them. And make sure you help them out. The coach, if your children are in any kind of sports, is saying, hey, this needs to be a priority. There's going to be 2 hours of practice every day. They need to be there. If they miss a practice, then they have to miss the next game. And if they play on Sunday, well, they play on Sunday. But if they're going to be a good player, this needs to be a priority. Your boss at work is telling you, hey, your job needs to be a priority in your life. I mean, if you're going to get ahead in this company, you need to make sure that your job is number one. I mean, you need to work overtime when we give you overtime. You need to work hard. Think about this job. Wake up how to get ahead, how to get your area of the business ahead. So if you're going to get ahead in this company, we need to be number one. Your doctor's telling you your health needs to be a priority. You need to eat better. You need to sleep 8 hours a day. You need to get up and you need to exercise. You need to eat some more of the green stuff, right? It's always green. You need to eat some more of that green stuff and you need to make your health a priority. Your accountant's saying, hey, your finances need to be a priority, man. You need to get on a budget. You need to start paying off your credit card debt. You need to start making sure that you're paying into your retirement. You need to make sure that you are keeping an eye on how your finances are going. That needs to be a priority in your life. The presidential candidates are saying, hey, this election needs to be a priority. You need to know what we believe. You need to know what's going on. You need to go out there and vote. It seems like everybody in life wants your priorities. Your girlfriend's saying, hey, I don't feel like I'm a priority to you. I mean, really, when's the last time we've had a heart-to-heart conversation? When's the last time you wrote me a card? It's been ages since you sent me flowers. I just feel like I'm not number one. Your wife is saying, hey, I feel like I haven't been a priority for a while. When are you going to take time for the family? When are we going to sit down and talk? When am I going to be number one? When am I going to be before your mother? When am I going to be a priority? And some of us feel like we're being tossed and pulled and tugged, and everybody wants a piece of you, and everybody wants to be a priority. And finally, you come to church, you sit in your seat, you're a little bit tired and exhausted, you take a deep breath, and guess what? This morning I want to talk to you about Jesus being a priority in your life as well. But here's the thing. Here's the difference between God being at the center and everything else. The difference is this. I believe that if God takes the place he deserves in your life, everything else begins to fall into place. Do you remember the story of Jesus when Jesus was at the house of Mary and Martha? Mary and Martha were sisters of Lazarus, the fellow that died and Jesus resurrected from the dead. And Jesus was at the house and there was a commotion because he was there. And Martha, being the older type A personality sister, was out there getting everything ready, setting the table, looking, make sure everything was for the guests, cleaning up the house, ordering people around. She was sweating. She was anxious. She was nervous. And her sister Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus. And finally, Martha had had enough, and she looks at Jesus. She says, Jesus, I'm running around doing all this work. Would you tell Mary to get up and help me? And Jesus looks at Martha, and he says, Martha, Martha. How many of you know when your name is said twice, you're in trouble? When someone says your name twice, Mark, Mark. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and anxious about a lot of things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that one thing. Now, this is pretty important, isn't it? I mean, Jesus is saying that only one thing is needed in life, and that Mary had chosen that one thing, then I want to know, what was Mary doing that was so important, that's crucial to life? And so let's zoom in on Mary. And here I see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, attentively listening to what he has to, what Jesus had to say. Here's what we discover: that Mary was taking time in her life to make Jesus a priority. Here's the question I have for you. Here's the question I have for you. Where is Jesus in your life today? Is he a priority? Is he at the center? Because if Jesus is not at the center of your life, then I can guarantee you there's a lot of chaos and out of order things in your life until Jesus takes the proper place. He deserves to be at the center. The entire book of Colossians is about the centrality of Jesus, the supremacy of Jesus. And if Jesus is at the center of your life, what you will discover is that it helps center your marriage. It helps organize your finances. It helps you in your relationships. But if Jesus is not at the center, if you don't have your spiritual life in order, then everything else in life will be out of order as well. So the Apostle Paul is speaking to these young believers that had come to Christ, and he knows that they are sincere about their faith, but he wants them to go beyond just believing. Some of you have come to Christ and consider yourselves followers of Christ or believers in Christ, but you need to go beyond just the basics. You need to grow in your Christianity beyond just basic Christianity, and you need to be start growing into maturity. And this is all about that. In fact, he prays a prayer for them, and he prays four things into their life, and these four things are vital for your growth and maturity if you're going to get beyond the basics. I'll begin reading in verse 9. It says, for this reason. For what reason? For the reason that Paul says, I know that your faith is sincere, that you've grown, that the gospel is yours, because you are authentic about your walk with God, because you know Jesus, because it's the real deal. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God. And now he prays four things into their life. Four things that every believer needs. Four things that every person needs if they are going to live a Christ-centric life, if they're going to be centered spiritually. These four things are vital to your life and vital to my life. And he states these four things. He says, first of all, he says, I pray asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the first thing that you and I need if we're going to grow beyond just the basics is that you need to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. With the knowledge of the will of God. Here's what I want you to know. There's a couple of key words here. One is filled. The other is knowledge. And the other is will of God. To be filled means that you're saturated with something. Not just that you're vaguely aware of God's will, but that you are so full of God's will that it saturates your entire being. Have you ever seen a sponge? You take a sponge and you put it under water, and that sponge becomes saturated with the water, right? It becomes heavy with that water. And when you squeeze that sponge, water spills out of it because it's saturated, filled with water. When you as a believer become filled with the knowledge of God's will, when you are under pressure, when you are squeezed, you squeeze out will of God. Because that's what you're filled with. That's what you know. And he says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge. It tells us in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. You know, there's a lot of people making bad decisions and a lot of people that are destroying their life because they lack knowledge. They lack knowledge.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Getting Our Priorities Straight, which is from our brand new series called First Things First. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this broadcast and give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and his message called Getting Your Priorities Straight.
Not knowledge about just worldly things, but they lack knowledge of the will of God. They don't understand the ways of God. And when you don't understand the ways of God, you make your own ways. And Scripture says in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. You begin to carve out your own ways, but oftentimes our ways, even though they seem right at the time, if they're not matched up with God's ways, our ways can end up destroying our life. There are some of you here that you've run your life for 30 years, and you know what? Your life's a mess. Because you ran your life. You did it your way, with your understanding. And now you're spending a lot of time mopping up after a lot of your messes. And it's funny because God is saying to you now, how about if you do it my way? And you're like, well, no, I don't know. I don't know if I can trust you, God. I don't know if I can do it your way. Well, you just made a mess for the last 30 years. You might as well give God a try. I don't think you could do any worse than what you've done. Yeah. And he says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. You know, the will of God is something hard to understand because the will of God ties into the sovereignty of God. Sovereign means that God is over and in control of all things. God is above time. God is above every circumstance. So when we talk about the will of God, we're talking about the design and purpose and plan of God. And here's what I want you to understand. God has a purpose and a plan for every life that's in this auditorium. Now, let me tell you this. God knows your name. And not only does he know your name, listen, he knows your middle name. Some of you don't like to say your middle name. You just put your middle initial because you don't like your middle name. God knows the full one. In fact, God doesn't even know your middle name. God knows your, he knows your nicknames. You know, the name your family used to call you that ended with an E. God knows the name they used to call you in the neighborhood. God knows your social security number. Listen, ladies, God knows your weight. The Bible tells us that God even knows the hairs on our head. He's had to keep a lot of changing numbers with me. He's got every hair on our head counted. God knows your history, knows your past, knows your attitudes, knows your thoughts. God knows what you desire, what you don't desire. God knows your brightest dreams. He knows your darkest dreams. God knows your nightmares. He knows your fears. God knows your insides. He knows your health condition better than the doctor knows it. God knows the relationships that you're involved with. God knows everything about you. God knows. And here's the thing. God has a design and purpose and a will for your life. God has a will, his sovereign will for your life, which is his plan for your life. And oftentimes our plan for our life doesn't match the plan that God has for our life. And so the Bible says, Paul says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. I, as a pastor, I have people ask me all the time, Pastor Mark, I just want to know God's will. And usually they're referring to major decisions in life, like I want to know if God's will for me to marry this person. I want to know if God's will for me to take this job. I want to know if it's God's will for me to move to this other state. I want to know if it's God's will in my life for me to make this investment. And it's about big decisions in life oftentimes, and we say, I want to know God's will. It's funny, when it comes to moving, it seems like people always are looking to move to warmer states, though. Seems like it's always God's will. People say, God called me to Florida, Texas, Arizona, California. I don't remember the last time when someone said, hey, God's called me to Alaska. Or God's called me to Duluth, Minnesota, where, you know, and no one says that. It's always the warmer states. God must have a bent towards the warmer states. I don't know. But what is the will of God? And it tells us in this passage of scripture how to discover the will of God. You say, well, I want to know the will of God. How do I discover God's will? Well, it makes it very clear in this passage. It says that you may be full of the will, knowledge of the will of God. And how do I attain that knowledge? It says this, listen, the latter part of verse 9. Filled with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. A lot of us try to gain knowledge of the will of God through studying and through our intellect. But what I want you to understand is that the main way of knowing the will of God is not through your mind. The main way of knowing the will of God is through a sensitive spirit. Notice he says, through spiritual wisdom and understanding. He doesn't say simply through wisdom and understanding. He says through spiritual wisdom and understanding. How many of you know there's a big difference between just natural wisdom and natural understanding and spiritual wisdom and understanding? Spiritual wisdom and understanding, the word spirit, spiritual comes from, obviously, from our spirit. I believe in the trichotomy of man. I believe that a person is composed of, as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that a person is composed of body, soul, and spirit. The body is the physical part of you. The soul has to do with your mind, will, and emotions, your personality, your intellect, your volition. And the spirit part of you has to do with that part of you that is intangible. You cannot touch, you cannot smell, you cannot feel, but it is the spirit part of you that relates to God. In John chapter 4, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The way that God typically communicates to us is via our spirit. And here's the thing. If God speaks to you mainly through your spirit, then when your spirit is dull, or when your spirit is hard, or when there is blockage to spiritual communication, then you do not hear what God is trying to say to you because you're dull spiritually. Oftentimes when Jesus was speaking, he says, all that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Well, most of his audience had ears. But what Jesus was talking about is not physical ears. Jesus was talking about spiritual ears. Do you realize that you could hear my words this morning and not understand the meaning of my words this morning if your spirit is hard? Do you realize that the Word of God can go forward with power and life-changing anointing, and some of you will not be affected by it because your spirit is dull and closed down and hard? Do you realize that two people can sit next to each other in the same service, hear the same message, be exposed to the same worship, and one can walk out of that place saying, God has spoken to me, I've been touched, there was revelation deposited in my life, God has taken his word and opened things up, I've discovered things, the Spirit of God has spoken to me through the Holy Spirit, and walk out of this place a transformed, encouraged individual being shaped in the image of Jesus. And right next to that person, in the same service, the same worship, in the chair right next to him, there could be someone else. They hear the same message, the same word, they experience the same thing, and they can walk up and say, how was service? Kind of long. A little boring. Kind of hot in there. Music was loud. Can't wait to get to the Bears game. You say, hey, what happened? Same place. Same word. Same message. Different result. What's the problem? The problem is that the Word of God travels via our spiritual openness. And when we are spiritually open to the things of God and sensitive and repenting and open lines of communication, that is how God ministers to us via our spirit. If our spirit is hard, we cannot grasp spiritual things, so therefore they bounce off of us and do not change us. How do we have a hard spirit? We have a hard spirit through several ways. One, when there's unbelief in our heart, we refuse to believe God. Two, when there's things in our life that we refuse to deal with that make us hard spiritually. You know that you can come here, and if God is dealing with something and you refuse to deal with it, you say, no, 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 no. That after a while, the Bible says that your heart becomes calloused. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, do not harden your heart, as the people of Israel did in the day of rebellion. But today, if you hear his voice, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Because your heart can get hard to the things of the Spirit of God. And when God starts to speak to you, you don't hear his voice anymore. It doesn't phase you. You hear the words, but you don't hear the power of the Spirit behind it. And so if you want to know the will of God, you have to be full of spiritual understanding and wisdom, and that means that you have to, before you arrive at a service like this, you need to do what I do on a regular basis before I preach, before I come to worship service. I say to God in my car, usually as I'm driving, I don't raise my hands, I don't close my eyes because that would be a little dangerous on I-55. But you can drive with your eyes open and drive, hopefully you're driving with your hands on the steering wheel, and pray. God hears you the same. But as I'm driving to service, I always say, Lord, I pray that you would cleanse my heart, Lord. And if there's anything in my life that would hinder the power of the word, I pray that you would reveal it so I can deal with it before you. And God, I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, because I don't want to speak just the words of man. I want to speak the words empowered by the Spirit. I want it to be your words, your Holy Spirit, with your divine anointing that goes out and touches people's lives. And if there's anything that I need to deal with right now, God, I want to be a clean vessel. I want you to flow through me powerfully.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called First Things First, and tonight was his message called Getting Your Priorities Straight. This is the first half of the message. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page, where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.